That's a beautiful song, isn't it? And the words of that song are really the point of what I want to try to help you do today. I want to try to help you see life and see yourself through God's eyes. And I want you to think about that this morning as we talk about that, all right? Looking through God's eyes. What would it be like if you could see your life through His eyes? Every one of us here this morning has been imprinted in life through various circumstances, through our family background, through our education, through relationships, through whatever particular religion or denomination we grew up in. And the experiences that we've had, they all combine all those together, and there's been an imprint that has been made on our person. And much of that determines how we think and how we act and how we see life. In fact, much of it forms our view of God and how we react to shame and how we feel about shame and guilt, and on it goes. And some of us have had maybe more difficult imprintings than others. I want to give you the definition of what imprint means so that we're all on the same page here today, because what's this is titled today is Reimprinting Your Life with God. An imprint is an influence or effect on your life that's come on you. Imprinting is a rapid learning process that takes place early in the life of a social animal, like a goose, and establishes a behavior pattern. Of course, we're a social animal to some degree as well. I don't know if some of you saw the movie Fly Away Home. I think that was the name of it. But it's about these little goslings, and they lose their mother, and they follow this girl all around, and they imprint on her and think that she's their mother. And the only way she trains them to fly is by flying this plane, and then she flies them eventually south, and, well, they grow up. But they imprinted on her. And all of us have had circumstances and things imprint on our life. Now, the wonderful thing about the human spirit and about the human soul, excuse me, is that we can be re-imprinted upon if we so choose. Let me give you an example. I want you to suppose for a moment that I come out here on stage and I tell you, I got really, really good news for you this morning. I'm the first one to find out about this. So you kind of wonder, I wonder what good news this is. So I tell you, well, I want you to first of all think what time of year it is. Well, it's March. Yeah, well, next month's April. And April 14th, something has to happen. And I tell you, the IRS is not collecting taxes this year. In fact, no one has to file. It's a new law. Just passed last night. Came in on my little hotline website. I just got it from my favorite senator. And we don't have to file anymore. In fact, the IRS has been done away with. No more oppressive taxes again in your whole life. Imagine the burden that would be lifted for most of us, of course, unless you're expecting a refund. But you've got to look to the future, because you'll get a lot more than what you'd get back if there were no taxes at all. Now, you might think for a moment, wow, that's just, could that really be true? Tomorrow, you get up, plastered all over the Star Tribune, USA Today, St. Paul Pioneer Press, IRS disbanded. No more taxes due. And you start seeing on the news, and you know, you just feel a burden lifted off your shoulders, don't you? It's just phenomenal to go to work with a new lift in your step. You know, I got instant raise. I mean, like 30, 40% more money without putting out any more effort. That would be a wonderful thing. Heaven, I'm looking forward to heaven. Heaven, a place where there is no more taxes. The reason I shared that with you is just to show that it's possible, even though all of our lives, even our youngest children, it's really amazing. My children started a paper route at 10. They had to start paying taxes. I do not remember that. I don't remember being taxed that early. Man, they want Social Security from them. You got to have a Social Security number or they come after you. So for many of you, maybe from the time you were 10 or 12 years old, you know, you've lived under that system. And it's been deeply imprinted upon you. And all of a sudden, someone comes and removes it, you know. That's what we're talking about. That's possible. Now, the starting point is what I shared with you last week. The starting point is coming to that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and He makes you new. You become a brand new person. And that brand new person, God wants to program it. God wants to get the wiring in place. God wants to imprint on that new person properly so that you can live free as God intended you to live. So that you can live conquering in life. So that you can live overcoming in life. Instead of subjugated for the rest of your life to your emotions and to your past. And that's possible for every single person. All right? God wants to re-imprint you with Himself and His truth. Now here's the question. I want you to think about this all morning. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Will you let Him? That's the question that you have to answer today. See, God can re-imprint on you. There are wonderful things you can come to know about God. But the question you have to answer is, well, will I let Him? Will I work with Him? Will I choose to allow my belief systems to change? See, every one of us right now, today, you're here in this auditorium, you live by a certain set of beliefs. Now, for many of you who've been struggling with shame and guilt, you live by a certain set of beliefs. Now, those beliefs may have been given to you, some of them forced upon you by circumstances, by other people, by whatever. But today, even without those forces in your life, they are your belief systems. And the question is, will you change them? Are you willing? Oh, God asks this, are you willing to change them? And if you're willing, then I have some very, very good news for you today, and I'm going to share it with you. We can never overcome shame and guilt and worthlessness and inferiority and the constant struggle that we have if we misunderstand God. Our conception of God is the single most important belief in our life. Our view of God, our understanding of Jesus, and our understanding of the new covenant. If we are skewed in those three things, then I promise you something. You're going to live the rest of your life subjugated to the past, subjugated to the flesh and what it feels and what your emotions tell you. We can never change, listen to this very carefully, we can never change what has happened to us, but we can change what we believe right now. We can improve our view. We can change the way we look at the past, and we can change the way we look at the future. I can't control the things that have happened to me. You know, something really strange has been happening to me lately. The last 30 days, I've had 5 flat tires on the same van. All different tires every time. Has it been frustrating? No, it's been wonderful. Yes, it's been frustrating. I was never driving, and any time it happens, you know, it's always to my wife, my dear, sweet wife. And I'd go out and look at the van, and it'd almost be flat. And fortunately, every time I've been able to drive it, do you know, to have them pull it off. And the other evening, she went to the karate school, and this was the night after I'd had another flat fix. She goes, Mark, I don't know what happened, man, but the rear tire was like completely flat. This time, it was completely flat. So I get there, and a couple of wonderful guys who come here who also go to the school there were helping her with it. So I'm wondering, what in the world? I just got this van in August, only had 19,000 miles on. It's only got 30 now. Got Michelin tires. Last van I had Michelin tires. Lasted 60,000 miles. I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? What is going on here? Someone's messing with me. Someone's out to get me. I just know it, you know. So I'm looking at the tire, thinking there's a little nail and a little screw, and I look at the top, and I mean, there's a bald spot, and the wires are showing through, and it's split open. It's unbelievable. So I got to buy 4 new tires. I actually had to buy 4 new because the last guy who was working on it told me, Mark, I don't know what to tell you, but these are already down to the tread wear bar, and you're going to need some anyway. So I got 4 new tires the other night, $380 later. And fortunately, it was only a block away, and I was able to drive the car on that bad tire and You know, so the Lord provided for me, and it was wonderful. And I get up this morning. I was going to get my wife some cappuccino. I'd gotten up very early this morning. The garage door happened to be up, so I looked at the back of the van as I was walking out. My brand new tire in the rear is flat, completely flat. Now, I cannot change these circumstances. Okay? I wished I could. But I can change how I view them, right? You know, something like that, the kind of person that I am years ago as a younger person would have just thrown me off. Emotionally, just would have unbelievable. I do not believe what is happening in my life. How am I even going to go share anything with anybody this morning? I feel so pathetic, you know, and your emotions just go wild because start thinking, the whole van's, oh, you know, the other thing that happened this morning. Say, hey, you think your life is rough, let me tell you. Okay, I got this new van, right? And so I'm backing it out. It won't back up. It fuel injected, electronic ignition, right? Only 30,000 miles. Supposed to be good to at least 70,000 miles to tune up. It's dying when I'm backing it up. And I'm thinking, I got to get it out as soon as possible because the tire is going to leak air. About the fifth time, you know, I tried, finally backed out. You know, what can you go through your life thinking life's jinxed? I mean, I could. I used to. I used to as a young person. And even today, I'm not saying these things are still a struggle for me, but you know what I can do? I have the power over my attitude. I do not have power over what happens to me, but I have power over what I choose to believe. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what I'm talking about this morning now. All of us did not have power over how we were brought up. We didn't have power over some of the things that happened to us. In fact, we feel very powerless. And if we're not careful, you know, we'll spend the rest of our life just being beat up by the past, beat up by our feelings. Unless we change that, unless you find a way to change that, then our situation is, to be very honest with you, really hopeless. Really hopeless. All my feelings, I'm going to go back to the story I shared with you a few weeks ago about my own personal struggle with shame. All my feelings of shame were paralyzing me with fear and doubt. I realized the only way out was to choose faith in God and what He says in spite of my feelings. It was the only way out for me. I had come to a point in my life where I just didn't, I mean, I got out of bed and I went to work because I knew I had responsibility, but I had no zip, zap, or enthusiasm left for life at all anymore. Every day I was just so aware of all of my struggles and all of my problems and all of the things that I wasn't. And I just felt like I could never change. This is never going to be different. And I'm going to be the same old guy the rest of my life. And not only that, but God certainly doesn't want anything to do with me. If you'd asked me at that time in my life, Mark, if it was you and Billy Graham praying about the same thing, who do you think God's going to answer? Well, I'm Billy. Yeah, Lord, I don't even think I'd get into His presence, let alone have Him answer me. Why? Because I don't deserve it. See, He's a really wonderful guy, you know, and He's done all these things for you, Lord, and, you know, He's just, I mean, He's got to be more together than me, that's for sure. That's what we call a screwed up view of God. But it makes logical sense to us, doesn't it? See, we don't realize it's screwed up because it's so logical to us. We look at someone like that, we go, well, of course, makes all the sense in the world because that's the way we've been imprinted. That's the way this whole world system operates. When you're really good, you get rewarded. When you're not so good, you don't get rewarded, you get fired. And so I had to make a choice in my life that I'm going to have to choose faith in God. It's the only hope that I have. And I banked my life on one verse at that time in my life. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word literally means, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be metamorphosized, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now let me give you a little analogy of what that means. You know, Beanie Babies right now, they're the real popular toy. You know, they're going to last for another 6 months probably, maybe till next Christmas, and then there'll be a bygone thing. But when my first two were real little, you know what the big toy was right when I was going through this? Transformers, More Than Meets the Eye. Remember that? and a little Volkswagen Beetle could become a superhero. Do you remember that? Or it could be anything. It could be your little dolly, a little puppy, and all of a sudden it becomes a superhero. And I said, I remember that, and I remember this word. I said, Lord, that's what I want in my life. I want you to transform me. I'm tired of being a little bug. See? I want to be a superhero, Lord. I want you to use me. I want you to change me. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes life, it can come just kind of grab you like a bad habit. Emotions can grab you. It's kind of like a nicotine habit, a heroin habit, a cocaine habit, you name the habit. Grabs you by the throat, slams you up against the wall, and you just think, I'm just stuck. I've got to react this way, be this way the rest of my life. You don't. You don't. God is in the business of changing lives. And if He can change mine, He can change yours. And I'm going to tell you how today. All right? So I went on a big limb of faith. A big limb of faith. For about 6 months during this period of my life, I had not been reading my Bible. I had not been into it. I just didn't feel like I was getting anything out of it anymore. I felt pretty unworthy even to read it. But I knew if I don't renew my mind, I won't be changed. So I formulated this little plan. All right? I didn't tell anybody because if it failed, I didn't want anybody else to know I was a failure again. I had gotten this drill for Christmas. This is how broke we were in those days. I got this drill for Christmas, knew I'd hardly ever use a drill, so I took the drill, returned to Sears, got the money, and I went and bought a Walkman. And then I went to our tape library, and I got 7 tapes at that time. Eventually added 12 more. But 7 tapes that I had heard the messages at a conference about 3 years before that. And I had heard them, and I thought, man, that is so good. That's so revolutionary. Maybe, like many of you, you know, you hear something, you go, wow, that's really cool. Wow, that's really neat. You know, 6 weeks later, has no meaningful effect in your life. Not because it wasn't good, but because you didn't hear it often enough to have it convert your experience. And that's what happened to me. See, it was up there. I kind of knew about it, but it hadn't radically affected my life yet. So I went and I got these 7 tapes. And I was working then at a day job, selling auto parts, driving around in a car. And nights I worked at a video arcade. And this was before they even had little Walkman carriers. And I went and bought this old battery case and I rigged it up and fixed it. And I know it looked really tacky. And I don't like looking really tacky, but I was desperate. Desperate people do desperate things to change. And I went around with that thing all day on my route, just sitting beside me in my car, and I'd plug in. I averaged between 16 and 18 hours a week for a solid year. I told myself, I told the Lord, every day for a year I'm going to listen to one of these tapes. Every day for a year. Do you know what you need? You need truth therapy. See, you need truth therapy. And the problem is we have weak minds. I have a weak mind. I had a very weak mind. All my mind would do is like a tire that constantly, a car constantly pulls you to the ditch. My mind was always pulling me to the ditch, to the mark gutter, the gutter of all the garbage in my life, all the failure, all the insecurity, and I'm tired of being in the ditch. I know how to get out of the ditch. It takes a lot of power, you know, to drive your car and keep from going to the ditch. We're so used to the same old ruts. I call it intravenous feeding, kind of like intravenous feeding. I call it intravenous feeding. See, here's what happened in my life. I knew that I needed someone else in my life that I respected to talk to me about the truth. I'm just being very honest with you. I did not have the emotional, mental wherewithal to tell it to myself because I didn't even know if it was true. That's how strong the rut was. So I got these tapes and every day, and I knew, guaranteed, it was guaranteed encouragement. I knew when I'm done with that hour, man, I'm going to be encouraged. And I was. 6 months, my life had already begun to radically change. And I continued the process, My wife, she began listening to them. At the end of that year, I added 12 more. And I listened to them more and more. And you know what? God transformed my life. And those things today, I go over them every day. They are the vitamin C of my soul. You cannot store vitamin C. And these kind of things I'm talking about, you can't just store them there. You have to keep them there. Keep active. Keep pouring them in. Pouring them in. Pouring them in. And God's word is power. And it changes our lives. Now, I was visiting with a woman recently, called me on the phone, and I've had this experience actually many, many times. This particular person said, "Mark, I've been in counseling for 23 years, in and out of it, for many, many years. I feel as hopeless today as I ever have." There's a story of a woman in the gospel who had a hemorrhage. She was constantly bleeding all the time. The Bible says she'd gone to the doctor, she spent everything she had, and then it says this phrase, it says, not only had she not gotten better, but she'd grown worse. She heard about Jesus. She was desperate. You know, you don't have the sanitary kind of things you have today. And this woman, in a huge step of faith, goes out into this giant crowd. She pushes through the crowd to get to Jesus. She gets to Jesus, she's thinking, if I could just get in contact with Him, if I could just touch His garment, I'd be well. She touches His garment, she gets well, and Jesus stops right in the crowd, and He goes, "Who touched me?" And disciples go, "Right, Jesus, right, who touched you? Jesus, there are 100,000 people standing around us, and you're asking who touched you?" "Someone touched me, guys. Power went out from me." And this woman, she came shaking, said, "I touched you." He said, "Woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." And He acknowledged her step of faith. God wants to touch your life, all right? But you have to let Him. You have to work with Him. And you may have to push through the crowds to get there. See, it's going to take some effort. That's why I ask you if you're willing. But if you're willing, God can transform your thinking. And when He transforms your thinking, He transforms your living. See? So I want to share with you this morning 6 facts about God that you've got to know. I'm going to go through them as quickly as I can, all right? But they're imperative that you understand these things. And then I'm going to close off by telling you how to go about re-imprinting your life. But I want to talk to you first about what you've got to re-imprint your life with. Number one, God loves you unconditionally all the time. Unconditionally all the time. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. I'm going to read you from the Living Bible. It says, "Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down or destroyed, is it because He doesn't love us anymore? No, for the Scriptures tell us that for His sake, we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. But despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. For I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from His love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't, and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, are where we are, high above the sky. We're in the deepest ocean. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when He died for us." God loves you unconditionally. Now, I want to go on to explain what that means, because when we say love, okay, God loves me, great. It is great. It is great. We just don't get it. That's the problem. We just don't get it. It's not been deeply imprinted upon us so that it's become our experience. God is always enthusiastically, passionately fond and affectionate towards you. He never cools off. See, God's character is the same all the time. It's sort of like, but not quite, like the sun. He's more intense than the sun, but He never loses any intensity. He's not affected by any outside elements. He's not affected by your behavior, good or bad. He stays passionate in His love for you, in His commitment towards you. No other human ever does that to you. Second, God never loses interest. He never loses interest. Now, all of us in this room, unless you're too young, have probably had an experience. I know I did. I was in high school. I had a girlfriend. She lost interest. That's what happened. Does it hurt? Sure it hurts. Of course it hurts. People all around us lose interest. Family members lose interest. Some of us have even had it more devastating. You actually married the person and they lost interest. And maybe you were traded in for someone younger, someone smarter, someone more wealthy, someone whatever. God never loses interest. He never rolls over asleep, "You bore me." Never. Ever. It's impossible. or He wouldn't be God. He never discards us for someone else. He loves us when we're lovable and when we're not. Nothing we ever do can separate His love from us. His love for us is not based on our worthiness to be loved. It is not based on how well we perform or achieve. It is based on His character, which is infinitely loving, and His choice to love us. Now, you've got to understand this. This is why it's very hard for me to believe. Because nowhere in society does anybody operate like that. If Bobby Jackson goes cold for the next, for the previous five games, he's on the bench. He's on the bench. You don't perform in our society and you're on the bench. You don't perform long enough, you lose your scholarship. We're all very used to that. As far as we're concerned, that's the way the world turns, Mark. Are you an idiot or something? That's the way it is. My friends, it's the way it is with humans. That's the way it was with God. That's why you got to let God imprint on you. The greatest psychological edge you can ever have in the world is when you become God-dependent instead of people-dependent. God-dependent. And you've allowed God to imprint on you because He's not like people. You know, you and I think recognize we're different than a dog. Even though people try to tell us we're not different than dolphins too much or chimps, you're considerably different. Chimps don't build buildings like this. They don't have computers. They can't fly. They would have never invented the airplane. You're considerably different. As higher as you are than an animal, God is infinitely higher than you are. He is not like you. He is one bazillion times better than you. In His character, He has affections like you, but they never wear out. He loves, but His love is perfect and infinite all the time. And so, you know, you don't have to go through your life anymore thinking, I'm so unworthy, I'm so unworthy. Of course you're unworthy. So am I. That's why the Lord died for us, but we're not unworthy anymore. We are fully vested sons of God and daughters of God, joint heirs with His Son, Jesus Christ. God is as pleased with you because of Christ as He is with Christ. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the New Covenant. You don't understand the New Testament. You don't understand God. And that's why it's so radical. Because you see, it affects you every day as you go through your life. People may turn against you. People may turn their back on you. But you know what? Listen, God won't turn His back on me. And I cannot tell you what comfort I derive from that every day of my life. Listen, I love my wife. She's just the neatest thing that's ever happened to me except for God. But there are days Kathy can't stand me. I don't mean any disrespect to her. And rightly so, some days I deserve it from a human point of view. I mean, there are days, you know, she's hot and days she's cold. Days I'm hot and days I'm cold. God never is. If I built my world around my wife, I'd already be devastated. If she'd have built her life around me, she'd already be devastated. You build your life around God, and you are indestructible. Do you understand? You follow? You're going to have to take some time to think about this stuff. We never, ever need to feel insecure around God. Ever. Ever. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, how we can feel insecure when someone more talented comes along? Someone more attractive? I've noticed this in groups of people, like I'll use ladies for an example, and then we'll get to guys in a moment. But when gals get together, and then a real attractive, stunning woman comes into the room, and it's amazing how threatened people feel all of a sudden. Found the same thing to be true in men. When maybe, you know, you've got a talent, you've got an ability, and all of a sudden someone comes along, they're a little better. It's really threatening. You feel insecure. You never have to feel insecure with God. He doesn't discard you, see. He loves you just the same. You're just as valuable to Him as the next person. No matter how much more talented they may be, you're just as valuable to God. I want to share with you a little true story. It really struck me with regard to this. This happened about 2 months ago. I was watching a news program. I think it was Dateline. And there was these two ladies and their husbands who went to Romania to adopt children. They want really bad to adopt these children. And, of course, they go in the orphanage. And it just, you know, I just sat there in the chairs with tears in my eyes. It was really a gut-wrenching story to see what they do to these little kids. And to see the lack of care that's even available to them. To see them in these little, like, metal jail cribs in their own feces, in their own... It's just really awful. It's really, really awful. But whenever someone's coming to adopt, they clean up the little kids, you know, and they bring them out, you know, for the folks to see. And it's almost, I don't mean it this way, and I want you to know, I think it's very courageous of people actually to go adopt. I think very highly of those who do that. I'm just trying to help you understand how this hit me. But I thought, you know, it's kind of like going to a little dog pound, and everybody's looking, you know, at the little puppies. And you know how it is, usually the year-old dog nobody wants, and the little puppy steals your heart. So I was watching this, and I watched this little boy, you know, with polio, hobble in. And I watched this little girl come in who, you know, to be real honest, you wouldn't want to look at. And I watched the cute little bubbly kids come in, the little toddlers, and all of them are wanting a mommy and a daddy. And the women, you know, they just, the tears fill up in their eyes, and so they you know, pick out their babies, and then there was a story of this family, the little boy with polio, and the little girl you didn't want to look at. They already had four other real healthy children. And I just sat there in that chair, and I thought, you know what, God? That was me. That was me, my soul with polio, my disfigured person, and you wanted me. You wanted me. You want everybody. See? That's the amazing thing about God, is He wants all of you. Everybody. Doesn't matter what you look like on the inside. Doesn't matter how ugly. Doesn't matter how repulsive. Doesn't matter what's happened to you. What you've done, God wants you. The only thing that keeps us from that ever happening is we just don't believe it. If those little kids, that's why Jesus said, if you have the faith of a little child, you'd be the great in the kingdom of God, because little children, they don't know any better, see? They come dragging their little leg out, and they really believe somebody might take them. When they're lined up against all those blonde-haired, blue-eyed, little beautiful little kids, they think they have a chance. Well, I wish we were that gullible. I wish we understood that with God, see? Because God's not like us. God, once in a while, there are some humans who, for a brief moment, reflect God's likeness to us, but they never really like Him. Second thing you've got to know is God always accepts you. You're always acceptable to God because of Christ. We're always favorably welcomed by God. We have His stamp of approval. I don't know about you when you were little, but I got a feeling, like me, there were things you did or things you thought that you really would have liked to interact with your mom and dad about, but you were scared to death that they even found out that was going on. Because you knew if they did, the axe would fall. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, it says this. Since then we have a high priest who cannot sympathize, or who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But He was tempted in all ways as we are. But He never sinned. Let us come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Now, you know what? When we get into a jam, when we do something really awful, when things are going really rough in our life, often the last person we think of going to is God. Because we just don't think God will welcome us. Yeah, I can't go to God in this condition. I can't go to God like this. I got to clean up. No, you don't. You're as clean as you're going to get, and I'll share that with you in just a few moments. You're as clean as you're ever going to be in the eyes of God. He's cleaned you up. You're always favorably received, and you can just come right on in. You know, if you wanted to go see the governor today, you couldn't. If you wanted to go visit Clem, you probably couldn't. If you wanted to find a ticket to the Final Four, You couldn't. Do you want to get and see God? You can, under any and all circumstances, because of what Christ did for you. He gained you entrance, and you've got it, right there in the presence of God. And He always accepts you, and He's always got His arms open, ready to say, how can I help you? What can I do for you today? How can I minister to your life? See, waiting God's throne is a throne of fear. You know, let us boldly come before the throne of fear, says the throne of grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor. Unearned favor. Just come on in. Let's talk. This means we never need to feel ashamed in God's presence. We never need to fear rejection. We can always anticipate His warm welcome and His willingness to help us no matter what our circumstances or how big of a mess we've made. He is sympathetic to our need, and He will meet them with His mercy and grace. This is exactly what Jesus proved with His life. It was why He angered the Pharisees. They were so arrogant. They thought, oh, we're so righteous. He's got to accept us. And all these people are so rotten. And it was all the people who were so rotten who felt so comfortable around God, and all the people who were so self-righteous that really felt uncomfortable around Him. It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus was just the opposite. God is the opposite of what we think most of the time. God is always approachable. We may come to Him with confidence even when we don't feel confident. You don't have to feel confident. You don't have to feel really worthy. You go in there by faith. Say, you know what, Lord? You said it's good enough for me. I believe it. I'm here. Lord, help me. God understands our weaknesses and our frailties. We can freely admit, and this is something a lot of people are afraid to do, we can freely admit when we are wrong without being afraid of God's wrath and anger. Because of Christ, we've been spared all of God's anger. Jesus took all that. He paid the debt. You don't have to be afraid of God's wrath or anger. And I'll get to that a little more in just a moment. Number three, God always completely, totally forgives us. In fact, it's already done. He already forgave you. Isaiah 1:18. I want to read this to you. It says this. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Now, we can relate to that, can't we? Have you ever seen what it's like when it gets really ugly out, like right about it was a few weeks ago, and then we got the snow on top of it? It was like beautiful, even though I hated it. It was beautiful. Even though it affects us emotionally, it's still beautiful. It's white. It's clean. And all the dirt's like covered up. You know what the Lord does? He doesn't cover it up. He like washed it away. It's just clean all the time as far as He's concerned. See, that's all that matters is what He's concerned about. Because then I can imprint on what He thinks instead of what I think or what others think of me. And then He says, even though you are stained as red as crimson, I will make you white as wool. I will make you white as wool. That's what God's about. That's what God wants to do. He wants to forgive you. There is no sin that God holds against you. He does not bear a grudge towards us. He completely blots out our sins and transgressions and makes us fresh as new fallen snow. You see, you're forgiven. You're completely, totally forgiven. It's like, imagine for a moment, most of us probably here have some kind of debt. Imagine for a moment you're writing out your $400 bill to pay your debts. You've consolidated them all. Maybe it's six, maybe it's 1,200. I don't know what it is. And you write it out and you send it to the bank. 3 days later, you get a phone call. It's the banker. He says, Mark, listen, I just want you to know we tore your check up. You just sent us. You can put it back in your checkbook. What do you mean you tore my check up? You know, why would you do that? Well, Mark, I don't know exactly how to tell you this, but about a week ago, someone came in with cash, and they said to apply it to your entire bill. I mean, they paid your entire debt, all $75,000. You got to be kidding. Yeah, they paid your debt. Now, instantaneously, a burden would be lifted from you, would it not? You'd add that money back to your checkbook, skipping around the house. I got $5,000. I got $5,000. If you haven't seen Wayne's World, you don't understand that. Okay? It's one of the... Never mind. Anyway. So all of a sudden, you got this money, see, you were never counting on before. So you're skipping along through life. Oh, and he happens to tell you, by the way, now, if you get a statement next month or something, just ignore it. Okay, it's paid off, but sometimes the system takes a while to catch up. Okay, great, no problem. Next month comes and you haven't set aside money. You go out to your mail and there's a bill. You open it up, oh my gosh, that $800 bill's due again. Darn, I forgot, and I didn't put any money aside. And you're getting all frantic, aren't you? Anxiety attack is starting to happen to you. And you're worried and you're bothered. And so you call up the bank and you go, listen, oh my gosh, please, I'm really sorry. I forgot this bill was due. I didn't set aside for it. Say, oh, Mr. Darling, what are you talking about? You remember last month? Yeah. Oh, yeah! I don't owe anything! That's how I feel every day of my life with God. You wonder why I smile so often. Because I know something that maybe you don't know. And I'm trying to help you know it. See? And I have been brainwashing my mind with this for 15 years. Every single day, I don't miss a day I think about it. Every day. And I love the Lord so much because of it. The Bible says He's forgiven much, loves much. Not those who are so aware of how bad they are really try harder. It says those who are forgiven much, love much. God canceled all your debt, my friend. Number four, God will never leave us or abandon us or forsake us. Never. I won't leave you. He won't back out on the deal. He always keeps his end of the bargain. Now, again, we're not used to it. We're not used to that commitment. Divorce is so common in our society, and it hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. God will never do that to you. And God can love you enough to make up for all the hurt. Number five, God is always for us. Romans 8:31. If God be for you, who can be against you? God is for you all the time. All the time, every day, in every situation, God is for you. He wants your best. He is your greatest fan, your greatest ally. With this confidence, I can face anything, and that's the truth. If I didn't know that, you know, someone told me Friday night, I said, Mark, I invited a couple friends, so you better really do good tonight. You know, they were teasing me. I mean, I understood what they meant. And I just said, man, if all of that was true, I wouldn't even show up here. You think, I mean, I want you to really think, you think I come out here because, you know, I think I'm good? Because I have confidence that, wow, I've got a gift? Well, you're wrong. If by chance you think that. I come out here because I'm confident God is in my corner. And God works through me. And this is about God. If I wasn't convinced of that, I wouldn't come back here anymore. I'd be too afraid. I'd be too afraid. God is for you all the time. You never have to doubt that. You wonder, well, okay. See, that's why David said, look, if an army breaks out against me, Psalm 27, if 10,000 people stand against me round about, what shall I fear? What should I... Is that reasonable? If the world breaks out against me, if God is for me, should I really logically be afraid in that situation? No. No. It's easy to be afraid because we're human. But God can simply change the circumstances just like that. And if He wanted, why, He could simply take away their breath of life and destroy them all in a moment. The Bible is full of stories where God has delivered 1,000 people from 100,000. That's God. He's for you. And the sixth thing is God makes everything happen in your life work out for good. No matter what. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that for those who love God, God causes all things to work for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And that's you. If you know Christ, you've been called. And everything in your life works for good. What does that mean? Don't look back with regret. God allowed pain in our lives for a good reason. He promises He has a good reason for it and will use it for our good. You can take His promises to the bank. Think about that. You take everything in my life. You know, people have asked me, Mark, where do you get your messages? From all the bad things that have happened to me. Is that hard? From all the bad. Then now is all good. Years ago, when I was going through this deep struggle of my soul, it didn't feel good. It didn't seem good. But I decided to claim this verse. And you know what? It's been the best thing that ever happened to me. It is the reason, biggest reason for my influence today, is the difficulties. No matter what's happened in your life, God works it for good. Do not focus so much on what you were imprinted with. Focus on what God wants to imprint on you now. Overcoming your shame is just a new set of beliefs away. That's all. That's all. In closing, I want to give you real quickly what to do. All right? Number one, I told you this earlier, you need truth therapy. Tapes. Tapes are a phenomenal way for you to overcome the mental barriers that are affecting your living. All right? Back at the tape library, there's a series called the Renew Tapes. I want to make some suggestions to you because you need certain information and you need to hear that information long enough that it makes an impression on your soul. One time won't do it. I'll just be very frank with you. One time won't do it. You get desperate, you go over and over, it'll do it. How many of you realize that if you go to lift weights and you want to bench press 250 pounds, if you're like me, guess what? Ain't going to happen the first time you go. Not until you make some consistent, deep impression on the muscle tissue. The problem is we cheat ourselves up here. We think it's easy spiritually. It is if you do the right things. If you do them over and over and over again, in 1 year's time, you'll be living a different reality than you're living today. If you'll do these steps. You get these tapes, the Renew Tapes, and another series called What Is God Really Like? And get this one, Overcoming Shame. Now, I want you to know something. I'm not doing this to sell tapes. You can rent them. In fact, the tape library told me that your first month's free. I don't make money off tapes. I'm interested in helping you change your life. You've got your car. How many of you are stuck in a car 30 to 50 minutes a day or longer? You got your car. You can listen to them while you're in there. You get up in the morning. You can put it on. And you put these things on over and over, it starts to wash your mind, wash your mind, wash your mind. Number two, begin reading your Bible. Follow along where we look things up, write down the verses, underline them. Start in the book of Psalms and start in the book of Romans chapter 8 and Ephesians. Number three, join a small group. Hang around the other Christians. Nothing will help you along the way like hanging around other Christians. Getting involved. Don't just stay out there on the outside looking in. Get involved around other people where you begin to see, wow, these people love each other. They accept each other. I've seen so many people imprinted on their life. And there's so many stories I could share with you today that happened when people were in relationship. They did something really awful and crummy, and someone that either they did it to or knew about it treated them like God. And it blew their mind. And I've personally seen that happen hundreds of times. Where they just go, my gosh, no one's ever treated me like this in my whole life. Number four, act on your beliefs. Act on these new beliefs. Act on them. Live as though they're true. Live in the faith reality, the new reality of God's Word. And the fifth, come to midweek seminars like Wednesday night. That's where you're going to make the groove even deeper. The imprintation grows deeper. The more you hear truth, the more your belief system expands to the full panoramic view of all God has for your life. And the sixth is get to know God on a personal basis. Talk with Him. Get to know Him. As you go through your day, ponder Him. Reflect upon Him and what He's like. I have so many more things I'd wished I could share with you, but I'm way out of time. I really appreciate your attentiveness. I appreciate you being here through this series. And on a personal note, I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me. And this week, as I'm on Honduras, that I'd stay healthy. My voice would last. I'd get there safe and back safe. I'll be with my two oldest children. Be down there with me. And you just pray for that whole time down there, this conference that I'm going to be doing down there with some other guys. And then before you go this morning, after I pray, I'm going to have Natalie sing that song again, because I want you to think about it today in light of what you've heard. I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to imagine what it's like to think about yourself the way God thinks about you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy, and your love. I just ask you, God, that men and women here would do something about the things they've heard. There doesn't need to be, Lord, for any of us, any excuses anymore, any reason why we can't have a better life. You've made it all possible. You bought it with your blood. If we just go lay hold of it. I ask you to give these men and women a tenaciousness and a determination and a personal commitment to do something this year to overcome the shame and guilt and worthlessness they've experienced in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.